Amen. On this day of remembrance, our minds are focused on the deaths of the many, those men and women who give their lives in great wars and conflicts around this world. We remember the people who died that we may have the freedom and liberties that we have today. When we think of war, we often, I know growing up maybe as children, we think it's something, we thought it was something that was to be romanticized, some great adventure. I remember that's the way it was. We're all little boys like to play soldiers and so forth. And you know there's people when they go past their childhood years, they don't seem to grow out of that. They still see war as some great news, some great thing to follow, some adventure. But you know, I think we all really know that war is not something that is an adventure. War is not something to be romanticized. War is an awful thing. A place of agony. A place of bloodshed. Think of World War I. A war that was known as the war to end all war. Little did they know a few years later there would be another war. Oh, the great conflict that World War I was. The conflict, the bloodshed. It goes beyond our imagination. Oh, we've heard the stories and accounts of things that happened in World War I, but we're not fit to truly comprehend the things that they went through. Think of World War II. Think of which was arguably the bloodiest war of all, taking all those millions of lives. And then we think of the bloodshed in our own land. The things, the awful scenes, even today, the 8th of November, the anniversary of that bomb in Enniskillen. Bloodshed, the wickedness, the evilness that there is when there is war, when there is terrorism, when there is all these things are far from romantic. Blood being shed. As we think of that blood, as we have a picture, when you think of a bloodshed and you think of war, I'm sure it's not something pretty that comes to mind. It's something that is gory. Something which is maybe repulsive. Something which is horrific to our minds. Think of those men who avoided death in the trenches. And they came home, yet the things that they saw, those men suffered for the rest of their lives because of the horrors of bloodshed. But tonight, as I say, I want us to think about blood. But what I want us to consider about blood should not repulse us. It should not horrify us. But instead of being repulsed, we should rejoice. For the blood I want us to consider tonight is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing sweeter. There should be nothing sweeter to any child of God than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're arguing that I'm wrong tonight, well then, who's most wrong? For you've stood and you've sang three hymns about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've sung them well. And with joy in your hearts. The blood of Christ is all that we are. Without the blood, we are nothing. The blood is worthy of our attention. The blood is not repulsive. The blood of Christ is a blood worthy of great rejoicing, as I say. Now tonight, I don't want us to focus on the blood of those in wars and conflicts. But the picture, the blood that we're looking at tonight is the blood of the Passover lamb. As I say, I've been working my way through the book of Exodus, and in my last study with the people in Kurigaya, well, online, and they were listening in, God willing, we looked at some of the characteristics of this Passover lamb. And in those first six verses, really, we were looking at the characteristics, and we saw certain things, and to recap for those, well, not a recap, but to give you a very short message on what they got, I noted with them that this Passover lamb, the Passover lamb was a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one of the, if not the clearest, pictures of Christ in all of Scripture. This lamb was to be set apart. It was taken from amongst the other lambs. It was taken, it was set apart, and so was Christ. Christ was set apart to be the Lamb of God from before the foundation of this world. That lamb, it was tested, it was set apart for a certain amount of days from the others. Again, that was a great picture of Christ and how he lived in this earth, how he proved to be sinless. We also can see that he was sufficient. There's a wonderful verse there that speaks about in verse 4. It says, and if thy household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to him take of it accordingly, and so forth. There's a great thing there. The verse doesn't ever say as anywhere, if the lamb's not enough. But you see, the lamb would be sufficient for their house and for others. And again, how this points to the Lord Jesus Christ, how his sacrifice upon the cross was sufficient to save an infinite world of souls. Wonderfully speaks of Christ. And we looked at these characteristics and some other. I don't have the time to go on. I've probably spent too much saying that. But I want us not to look at these characteristics of how this Passover lamb is that picture of Christ. But I want to look closely at one detail of this lamb. And it is, as I've said, it's his blood. The blood of the Passover lamb. A wonderful picture of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look at this theme as the blood of the lamb, there's 3 points, God willing, that we will consider this evening. The first thing I want you to note with me as we consider the blood of the Lamb, which is, of course, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the blood of the Lamb was shed. The blood of the Lamb was shed. As I say, verses 1 to 6, we have those characteristics of this Passover Lamb. A Lamb set apart. A Lamb that was spotless. I didn't mention that to you. That's key. This Lamb is a spotless Lamb. It had to be a Lamb without blemish, as we're told in those verses. This lamb, as I say, was sufficient for their house and for other houses beyond them. All these things, yes, a wonderful picture of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But all these things, all these wonderful truths of the Lord Jesus Christ that these things are worth nothing to you without the shedding of his blood. And so it was with the Passover lamb. You see, it wasn't enough for this Passover lamb that you have here in Exodus chapter 12. It wasn't enough that the Israelites took the lamb and set it apart. That wasn't enough. That isn't enough. God wanted them to do that. Yes, they had to do that, but that still wasn't enough. There was more that had to be done. It wasn't just a setting apart of the lamb. You say, oh yes, we know, the lamb had to die. And yes, the lamb had to die, but even that wasn't enough. The lamb's blood had to be shed. See, look at verses 6 and 7. Here they have that transition from those characteristics that I mentioned to the killing and the shedding of the lamb's blood. Verses 6 and 7. It says, and you shall keep it, this is the lamb, up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the 2 sideposts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Now, as these verses, we look and consider the blood, we see that it's not just a death. When I talk about the blood of the lamb tonight, that the blood must be shed, I'm not merely talking about death. See, there's this misconception that the blood, and when it speaks about the blood of the lamb, this is just poetic language about the death of Christ. No, it's not. The power is literally in the blood. It is by the shedding of blood, not merely by death. You see, if we leave it at the end of verse 6, yes, it talks in verse 6 about killing this lamb. But as we read into verse 7, we see there had to be a shedding of its blood. Yes, the lamb must die, but its blood had also to be shed. See, this shedding of blood speaks not just of death, but of the actual necessity of the sacrifice. For the sacrifice to be acceptable, there had to be a shedding of blood. The Old Testament sacrifices required not only the death of an animal, but the shedding of its blood. And it was no different with the Passover sacrifice. The Passover sacrifice and all these sacrifices of the Old Testament, as we know, are a picture of the sacrifice of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he'd come to die upon the cross and his blood would be shed. See, not only did Christ die, but he shed his blood. With all due reverence, it was not enough for the children of Israel to bludgeon that lamb over the head and kill it. They had to shed its blood. The blood of the lamb had to be shed. That night, as we know the Passover account, no doubt, we know the judgment of death was going to come upon the land of Egypt. And if death was to be appeased in the household of a firstborn was not to die, it was essential that the blood of the lamb was shed. And so it is with the salvations of sinners. It is only through the shed blood of the Lamb of God that God's wrath can be appeased. Hebrews 9 verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. A true and acceptable sacrifice unto God had to be a lamb without blemish or spot, as verse 5 tells us. But also it had to be by the shedding of that spotless lamb's blood. The only acceptable sacrifice for sinners was the shedding of the blood of the spotless lamb, Lord Jesus Christ. It's not his death. Not just his death, but by the shedding of his blood, there is redemption. See, it was only by his blood shed that there was an acceptable sacrifice made unto the Father. It was only by his sacrifice, by the shedding of blood, that redemption was accomplished. It accomplished salvation. The blood of the Lamb in the Passover, that accomplished the salvation for those Israelite people. The blood was shed as was directed. This accomplished their salvation. It accomplished salvation because it was acceptable in the sight of God. Now I want us to take a moment to consider what I say there. The sacrifice being acceptable in the sight of God. When we consider the gospel, when we consider Christ's death upon the cross, we automatically think of Christ's sacrifice for us. And we rejoice in that. I'm not saying not to rejoice in that. We do rejoice in the sacrifice for us, but we must never forget that first and foremost, that sacrifice was made unto the Father. It was a sacrifice unto his Father. It was something that he offered unto his Father in our behalf. It was through the shedding of his blood that reconciliation was made, that God's wrath was turned away. See, before redemption could be applied to the sinner, it had to be accomplished. And it could only be accomplished by the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, therefore, you see with me this evening that the blood of Christ truly is precious. It's not something horrific. It's not something that we shouldn't mention and not use such phraseology anymore. Christ's blood is something that we shall be proclaiming from the rooftops. Again, hear those words in Hebrews 9:22. And almost in all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. Christ shed his blood. And because of that, his sacrifice was accepted. Through the shedding of his blood, redemption had been accomplished. But the key question I want to leave with you this evening, yes, redemption has been accomplished. But has that redemption been applied to you? That's a key question. Oh, there is a Lamb whose blood has been shed. But has that blood been applied? And this brings us to our second point this evening. We've looked at the fact that the blood was shed. See with me, secondly, that the blood of the Lamb was sprinkled. The blood of the Lamb was shed, but the blood of the Lamb also was sprinkled. Exodus 12, verse 7. It says, "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it." And then down in verse 22, some further details about this striking of the, putting the blood on the doorposts. Verse 22, it says, "And he shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning." Now the verses here speak about blood being taken, and as I title this point, sprinkled on the doorposts, on the lintel. Now you may say the word sprinkled isn't used here, but consider the action of what's going on here. A bunch of hyssop is taken, it's dipped in the blood, and that is taken and then stricken against the post. That's a sprinkling of blood. The blood was sprinkled on the doorpost. There is a clear connection between hyssop and the sprinkling of blood in terms of the sacrifice in Hebrews 9:19. It says, "Therefore, when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people." The blood of the Lamb was shed. But it had to be also sprinkled. As we've just been considering this Lamb, or as I mentioned earlier, this Lamb, it was set apart, yes. A lamb chosen for its perfection. But it wasn't enough to sit and look at that wonderful, healthy specimen in the corner. It wasn't enough to take the lamb out, sat it in the corner of the house and say, here is our Passover lamb. No, we've already known that they had to go further. They had to kill it. They had to shed its blood. But was that enough? If they took that lamb, if they killed it, shed its blood, was that enough? Was death, the angel of death, God himself, as he came into Egypt that night, was it enough for the lamb to have its blood shed within the house? Oh, the shedding of its blood accomplished the redemption. But you see, the blood had to be applied. And here is the wonderful picture of redemption. It's not enough that the Lord Jesus Christ has died. It's not enough that the Lord Jesus Christ has shed his precious blood. Yes, God required that for the salvation of sinners, but there must be more. If God's wrath is to be turned away, the sacrifice, the blood, has to be applied. See, as you think about that, the blood shed in that house was not enough. The blood had to be applied to the doorposts. It had to be sprinkled upon them. Oh, the people could have taken the spotless lamb. They could have even shed its blood. But if the blood wasn't applied, it would have done them no good. If the blood was not applied on the outside of that door, the angel of death would have entered their house and slain their firstborn, just like every other, like all the Egyptian households. See, verse 13 makes that abundantly clear. Verse 13 says, and the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. You see, it was the blood applied that was necessary. And here's a crucial lesson, not just for you here, but for all mankind. It is not enough to know that Christ, the true Lamb of God, has shed his blood, but that sacrifice must also be accepted. It must be applied to the person as an individual. As one has very succinctly put it, I think it was A.W. Pink, he said, a Savior provided is not sufficient. It must be received. That's what I'm really trying to get at this whole point. Oh, there is a Savior. He has been provided. He has shed his blood. But that's not sufficient. He must also be received. Oh, and to use the other words which I have been using, redemption has been accomplished. But it also needs to be applied. I wonder if you received the Savior as your Savior. Has redemption been applied to your precious yet sinful soul? Consider this account before us. The people were within their homes. The angel of God himself was soon to stand outside. And all that could stay the hand of death that night was the blood in between them. The people in the house, God outside, and all that could stay the wrath was the blood in between. The blood upon the posts. The shed blood of Christ upon the cross. Dear friend, I warn you this evening that there's coming a day of judgment for you and your sin. Oh, these people were warned. These people knew death was coming that night, but friend, you don't have that luxury. You don't know when is your appointment with death, with judgment. Therefore, the blood needs to be applied straight away. All that can come between any of us and the judgment of God is the applied atoning blood of Christ. Has the shed blood of Christ been applied to you this evening? Christ has died and shed his blood for sinners. Redemption has been accomplished by the sacrifice of Christ in the shedding of his blood, but has that sacrifice been applied? Maybe you ask tonight, how can this be done? Well, in simplest terms, it is done by accepting Christ as your Savior, repenting of your sin, accepting that you need to be saved by his blood, calling upon him for salvation, believing he is the only way to be saved. That's what you must do. You must have faith in his blood. Faith in the saving power of the blood. You want to turn over to Romans chapter 3. Wonderful verse. We'll not take time to delve into fully, but Romans chapter 3 and the verse 25. Romans 3 verse 25 It says, whom God, this is talking about Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. That word propitiation is not a word you would use every day. The word propitiation simply means the turning away of God's wrath by the means of an atoning sacrifice. So what has been said here, that God set forth, sent Christ to be our atoning sacrifice. How? Through faith in his blood. Oh, Christ was sent forth to be sacrifice, but it was only going to be that, it was only going to be applied by faith in that blood. That is where your faith must be. Not in self, not in the church, but in the precious blood of Christ. You see, with me also, it's not enough that he has shed his blood. Dear friend, you need to have that blood applied. You must have faith and believe in what that blood can accomplish for you. Oh, maybe you believe that Christ did indeed shed his blood, that sinners may be saved. You believe that? Just, I'm sure, like the children of Israel believed that the Passover lamb was to be slain. They believed that. Oh, the children of Israel believed that that lamb had to be slain, if they were to avoid death that night. And that is what you believe. Yes, you believe that the blood of Christ had to be shed for sinners to be saved. But such a belief is not enough on its own unless the blood is personally applied. It wasn't enough for them to believe, yes, this blood is powerful. We need this blood. Well, it's not enough to say those things, but where is the faith? Where is the application of the blood? Has the blood been applied to your life? As I say, this applying of blood was a demonstration of faith. To take that blood in that day, to pick it and strike it upon on the doorpost, was a demonstration of their faith, that they believed that it would be acceptable and sufficient for the turning away of God's wrath. And likewise, it is only by faith that the sacrifice of Christ can be received by you and by me. Do you believe tonight that the shed blood of Christ, his sacrifice, is your only way of salvation? Now, I titled this point very deliberately, not just for alliteration's sake. That's why I didn't use the word sprinkle, but I use it because I believe it's important in this consideration of the application and the power and the necessity of the blood. I said the blood of the Lamb was sprinkled upon the doorpost. Why do I emphasize that? Why did I not simply say the blood was put on the doorpost? Does it matter that the blood was sprinkled? Well, I believe it does. I believe everything in this Passover account, there's no accidents, there's no just matter-of-fact things. Everything was for a purpose, and it was all the point of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I say, the blood was dipped in the hyssop was dipped, it was stricken against the post. The blood, therefore, was clearly sprinkled upon those doorposts. Why is that important? Well, sprinkling, I don't have definitely not enough time this evening, but sprinkling is a wonderful study. Take the time to get a concordance. It's amazing what you can do now with the phone. You don't need to get out the big old strong concordance anymore. You can look up the word sprinkling. Do a word study. Look up the word sprinkling, how it's used in Scripture. Now, I'm not going to do that study with you. I will take you to one verse, which I suppose is key in the whole study, is if you do it yourself, Hebrews 10, verse 22. It says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from all evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. This is just one of many. It was probably the first one that I thought of. But I chose this one because sprinkling here speaks of cleansing. In the whole sacrificial system, the sprinkling of the blood, it was associated with cleansing. If you look up those, so many of the references of sprinkling is to do with just that, the cleansing of the sinner. You see, cleansing is an essential part of a sinner's deliverance from the wrath to come. When the blood of Christ is applied to your heart, the heart is cleansed from every stain of sin. And therefore, if sprinkling speaks of washing and cleansing, we can say tonight that the blood of Christ is, spiritually speaking, applied to the heart of the sinner by sprinkling. Sprinkling brings cleansing. Think of those wonderful words in Isaiah 1, verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Here's a wonderful cleansing. Been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I ask you that question tonight, have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Well, the blood has been shed. The fountain still flows. Have you plunged beneath it? Have you been made white as snow? Or it's only by accepting the shed blood and having it applied to your own heart that you can know such cleansing. It's only by that blood that you can have the forgiveness and deliverance from sin and thus the wrath of God. Again, I say, Christ has accomplished redemption, but has redemption been applied to you? Make no mistake, Christ's sacrifice is sufficient to save you. Well, I tell you that it's sufficient to save everyone. As I say, there's a sufficiency in the sacrifice of Christ to save an infinite number of universes, if there so was such universes. Yet how sad it is that Christ's blood, yet sufficient, many will never receive it. Oh, how foolish it would have been for these Israelites to have a sacrificial lamb, have that lamb taken. How foolish it would have been to take that lamb, to even have its blood. That blood was shed. There's the blood in the basin within the house. How foolish it would have that blood there to be applied, and yet they didn't apply it. Foolish, why? Because if the blood had remained simply in that basin, death would have came knocking at their door and taken the firstborn out of that house. Yet many today are every bit as foolish. There is a perfect lamb. His blood has been shed. Yet many will not take his blood for their salvation. I wonder, is that you today? If it is, I pray that you'll come to him. Have his blood applied. And be sure that you can be free from the wrath to come. And this assurance is an assurance here. There is an assurance. I assure you that if you come to Christ, accept him as your Savior, trust in his sacrifice and his sacrifice alone, you can be sure that your sins are forgiven this night. Now this assurance brings us to our final point this evening. We've considered that the blood of the Lamb was shed. The blood of the Lamb was sprinkled. But seeth me finally this evening that the blood of the Lamb was seen. The blood of the Lamb was seen. In our first point, we looked at the blood of the Lamb being shed, we're looking at the accomplishment of redemption. As we look in the second point at the blood of the Lamb being sprinkled, we're looking at the application of redemption. But at this here point, really what we could, if we want to use another A, we're looking at the assurance of redemption. You see, the people could be assured that if the blood was shed and then sprinkled upon the doorposts, it would be seen by God, and he would spare them from death. Again, look at Exodus 12:13. It says, and the blood, oh, not anything that they are, not anything that they have done, and the blood shall be to you for a token of the house as where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. In short, verse 13 says, all that matters is the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. God did not need to see what the people were like inside. There was no condition, well, what's the people like? What has their past life been like? What is their past things that they wronged that they have done? He didn't want to see what the people had been like in the house. He didn't even need to know what the house was like itself. None of these things mattered. All that mattered was the blood upon the posts. All that was needed to be seen was the blood. That's what matters in a sinner's redemption today. The Lord Jesus Christ's blood can atone for the worst of sinners. A wonderful hymn says, the vilest of sinners who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. It's the blood can save the worst, the vilest of sinners. See, consider it didn't matter where the doorposts were. It didn't matter if these were the doorposts of the palace or the doorposts of an Israelite's hovel. If the blood was applied and seen by God, those underneath and behind those doors were saved. Now through this issue of redemption, it's not because of anything that we are, anything that we have, anything that we have done, but our redemption is based on the blood of Christ alone. Now, I'm not sure how much thought you've given to this account. I'm sure from a child you were taught this story and you have considered it. But have you ever thought that if the Egyptians, the wicked Egyptians, as they were a wicked nation which were now under the judgment of God. But if those Egyptians had followed the instructions given to the Israelites, if the Egyptians had taken a spotless lamb and shed its blood, and the Egyptians had sprinkled its blood upon their doorposts, they too would have been delivered that night. The wicked Egyptians, those wicked taskmasters, those of the palace of Pharaoh, the firstborn in all these houses would have been spared if they too had trusted in the blood. What a reminder that is, that the blood of Christ is sufficient for all. Doesn't matter what sins you have committed, blood Christ is still sufficient if that blood is applied. Remember what we're told in 1 John 1 verse 7. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from what? Some sin? No. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And if Christ's blood can cleanse us from all sin, that means it can cleanse all sinners. It doesn't matter, dear friend, what sins you have committed. If you tonight put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, put your faith in his blood to cleanse you, you can have that cleansing. Dear sinner, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, if the blood of Christ is applied, it will be seen by God and you will be free from wrath to come. Be assured of redemption today. Trust in the blood of the Lamb. That's a wonderful verse. Think of it often. That verse 13 again. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. The blood was shed. The blood was sprinkled. Let us praise the Lord tonight that that blood will be seen. Has that blood been applied to you? Christ, does God look upon you and see the blood of his precious Son? Can you stand today in his perfect righteousness? Well, come to him tonight, if you haven't already, and be saved through the blood of the Lamb. May the Lord take his word. May he bless it each and every heart this evening. Let us please close in a word of prayer. Eternal Father,